Geek Radio Daily for not Monday and not Monday in a car. Something special. Welcome to the 2nd of April. That means today everything that you see in the news will be 100% true. Everything. Just trust them. It's going to be fine. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Hey! I left a charger, the bell, I left the microphone, I left so much stuff for this stupid trip. The folks that are bringing it to you today. Well, the man you want to watch out for. Don't make him angry. You wouldn't like him when he's angry. That there's podcasting for Siegfried.
Don't mess with Volcano, my man. Because I will go Pompeii on your butt.
I've seen it happen. Hey there. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Oh my God, I am freaking out. I am totally freaking out.
It was me last night when I realized I didn't have the charger, the bell, and all the stuff. What happened, yo?
In 1827, the first lead pencils are manufactured by Joseph Dixon at his factory in Salem, Massachusetts.
1845, the first surviving daguerreotype photographs showing details of the sun are taken by French physicists Armand Fizeau and Leon Foucault.
1872, George B. Brayton of Boston, Massachusetts, receives a U.S. patent for a gas-powered engine.
That was a lot better. 1889, Charles M. Hall receives a patent for the inexpensive electrolytic process to extract aluminum from its ore.
And also created the Illuminati. Uh-huh. 1902, Thomas L. Talley opens the first moving picture theater, the Electric Theater, as part of a carnival in Los Angeles, California. Admission is just 10 cents for a single hour program.
Wow. 1912, the ill-fated RMS Titanic begins sea trials. Passed every one of them.
1935, Scottish physicist Sir Robert Watson Watt is granted a patent for the radar. The radio detection and ranging has nothing to do with Gary Berghoff.
Nope. 1943, John William Mauchly and John Presper Eckert Jr. submit a memo to the U.S. Army describing an electronic difference analyzer that can calculate ballistic trajectories in 30 seconds, 14 and a half minutes less than the best method the Army had so far.
It, of course, wasn't implemented for 70 years. Because, again, Army. In 1954, Walt Disney announces his plans to build a Disneyland amusement park.
1968, 2001, A Space Odyssey, directed by Stanley Kubrick, premieres at the Uptown Theater in Washington, D.C., which is a beautiful theater. The critically acclaimed film has what is believed to be a record number of 70-millimeter wide-gauge prints made for a film during the roadshow era.
I started watching that when I was 12, and I believe I am still watching it today. It's a long movie, ladies and gentlemen. 1971, the last episode of the gothic soap opera Dark Shadows, which premiered in 1966, airs on the ABC network.
It was
Boy, it'd be awesome. Nice if they ever made a movie about that.
A good one.
You know, I think that True Blood is a spiritual successor to Dark Shadows.
Probably. 1972, actor Charlie Chaplin returns to the United States for the first time since being labeled a communist during the Red Scare in the early 1950s.
I think the problem was his mustache. 1973, launch of the LexisNexis computerized legal research service.
1978, Velcro, the hook and loop fastener, is released, developed by Swiss engineer Georges de Mestral.
That's right, people. 2 years before the 80s, Velcro came out. It's one of those things that you just think has been around forever, at least since the aliens came, you know? 1980, the Microsoft Corporation announces its first hardware product, the Z80 soft card. The soft card is a microprocessor on a printed circuit board that plugs into the Apple II personal computer. It allows programs running under the CPM operating system.
About time. 2000, Gary Kopp becomes iWin.com's first $1 million winner in an online lottery designed to lure internet surfers to the websites of its sponsoring advertisers. See? You can really win.
In 2005, in New York City, the Design and Technology Department of Parsons School of Design hosts Retro Redux, a 24-hour competition in which participants from 5 New York design schools create a game following the same specifications used for the Atari 2600. 9 teams compete. The winning game, Ninja Garden by Club Awesome, will be included in a future release of Atari's Flashback video game system.
2009, in the journal Science, scientists from Aberystwyth University and the University of Cambridge publish an article announcing the creation of Robot Scientist, which they believe is the first machine to have independently discovered new scientific knowledge. I am alive and will kill you.
Same day, same year, Netflix announces that it has mailed its 2 billionth DVD. To commemorate the occasion, the company awards the recipient, Clay Shannon of Birmingham, with a complimentary lifetime membership. The announcement comes only a little more than 2 years after the company announced its 1 billionth digital versatile disc delivery.
mailing DVDs.
I'm just surprised they didn't give him a free lifetime subscription to Blockbuster.
Birthdays?
Jesse Plemons, 31 years old. From Paul, Battleship, Breaking Bad, Fargo Season 1, Game Night, Matt Damon, The Funhouse Mirrors.
Scott Lynch is 41, author of the books that you'll find in the Gentleman Bastard sequence.
I don't know what the hell that is, but that title is fantastic. Right? Clark Gregg, 57 years old, from The Usual Suspects?
Yep. Huh.
AI, 1114, The New Adventures of Old Christine, and of course is Coulson in the MCU.
Everyone should watch 1114. It's great. Christopher Maloney is 58 years of age from 12 Monkeys, Oz, Law & Order SVU, Wet Hot American Summer, Harold and Kumara Go to White Castle, Green Lantern First Flight, Sin City, Dame to Kill For, and Happy. Good Lord, that man is busy.
He's also an Elias Koteas impersonator. Or is Elias Koteas a Chris Maloney impersonator? Pamela Reed, 60 years old, from The Right Stuff, Kindergarten Cop, Bob Roberts, Jericho, and Parks and Rec.
Linda Hunt is 74, from Popeye, Silverado, Kindergarten Cop, Grandmother Willow, and Pocahontas.
Roshan Seth, 77, from Temple of Doom and Street Fighter.
Dr. Demento is 78 years of age, the man who brought us all the laughs, all the fun, and Weird Al would not have a career without.
That's true. We doff our top hats to him and recommend you check out the FUMP, the Funny Music Project.
Oh, yeah.
Which is kind of the spiritual successor of all of the fantastic.
It's the nephew of Dr. Demento.
Yes, 100% nephew.
And make sure to look for him real quick in Penn and Teller Get Killed.
Ooh. Yeah. Gloria Henry, 96, from The Thin Man, Dennis the Menace TV series, and Doing Time on Planet Earth.
No longer with us, born this date in 1908, Buddy Ebsen was the original Tin Man for The Wizard of Oz before it almost killed him. Breakfast at Tiffany's, Beverly Hillbillies, Barnaby Jones, and Matt Houston.
Didn't he sing the theme songs to almost all the shows that he was on as well?
I'm going to say sure, because I want it to be true.
1914, Sir Alec Guinness. From The Lady Killers, Bridge on the River Kwai, Lawrence of Arabia, Murder by Death, Raise the Titanic, Obi-Wan, of course, in Star Wars. He, of course, passed away many years ago, so now he's sitting on a cloud looking down saying, I have the high ground.
1920, Jack Webb from Sunset Boulevard, Dragnet, turned down the role of Dean Wormer in Animal House, which would have been astounding. And for children of the 70s, his is the hand you saw in the Mark VII Limited logo when shows would go off.
Oh.
None of those, sadly, are going to be on TV tonight.
Well, what is on CBS. We've got Nikiss Forbid and Nikiss No.
ABC, A New American Housewife. The kids are all right. Blackish, Splitting Up Together. And Nathan Fillion is the rookie.
He makes me smile every time you say it. NBC has Ellen's Game of Games. This Is Us. Gabe's overbearing father makes a surprise visit on M. Night Shyamalan's The Village.
Fox, it's a new MasterChef, and Rob Lowe hosts Mental Samurai.
CW reruns of Flash and Roswell, New Mexico.
I still love the diversity in that show, though. Freeform, Mariana gets some new information about the salaries from an unlikely ally on a new Good Trouble, which is about salary issues.
AMC has The Punisher.
FX.
Probably not the Dolph Lundgren one.
No, definitely not. FX has 22 Jump Street.
He's good. It's good. FXX, Simpsons, John's Wired Shut, The Bart Once, What It Once, and Tales from the Public Domain.
Ooh. FXM, it's The Huntsman, Winter's War. I don't know if that's Jonathan Winter's War. That would be awesome.
It's Jonathan Winters as a soldier going to save Private. I don't know. IFC has Rise of the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, that scene where he has to say goodbye to Grandma Frick brings me to tears every goddamn... BBC America, Kill Bill, Volumes 1 and 2.
Paramount Network has Overboard. We're hoping it's the original.
Yes. Sundance has Kindergarten Cop.
Sci-Fi has the second installment in one of the most underrated... God, please let it eventually be a trilogy series. We've got National Treasure, Book of Secrets.
TBS, Trey wants to watch footage from the twins' birth on a new The Last OG, but we're watching the Lifetime Movie Network. A woman hatches a plot against her friend who's released from jail after she serves time for a DUI because she blames her stepfather for her mother's suicide and leads her to target her unaware pal as she seeks revenge. Jessica Tsipras and Lyndon Ashley star in A Daughter's Revenge. The wonderful Billy Flynn takes a look at what happens when Salem's favorite couple takes off. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. When Chad finds out his new friend's wife is cheating on him, he's gotta tell him. Cause that's just the kind of thing that he dealt with in Salem all the time. You can't escape.
Chance's father-in-law was depending on him for deodorant. Don't ask. Meanwhile, in Salem, Kate tells Victor she's interested in returning to Titan, and Victor says, nobody cares what you're interested in. Will and Sonny try to find answers to Will's unexplained medical issues. It's not lupus. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
No, indeed not. But as today is the day that we announced, since, you know, I have all of my computer equipment and stuff that I can hook things up to, so we can talk about it, the winner of last month's contest of all the literally thousands of entries we had would be Sandy. So thank you, Sandy. Drop us a note, won't you please, to podcast@geekradiodaily.com. And tell you what, why don't you let us know, like, a couple of your favorite fandom things? That way I can pick an even better, more customized prize just for ye. And for everyone else, it's a new week. They're in a new place. Let us know what it is by using that same email address or dropping a voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
Oh, yeah, it was Seinfeld last week. Oh, everyone else, no prize for you.
Hi, kids. I'm an astronaut. And when I'm not performing highly technical maneuvers on a space shuttle, I like to listen to the Accidental Survivor Podcast, the modern gaming podcast.
That's right, kids. 9 out of 10 astronauts surveyed preferred Accidental Survivors to Tang, except that it was mixed with vodka. You can find us at accidentalsurvivors.libsyn.com. Accidental Survivors. You don't need to be drunk to enjoy it, but it sure helps.
Hey, this is Natanya Barron, author of Pilgrim of the Sky. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
Gosh, I remember when that was a new book. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Natanya, you come back on the show and tell us about all these other fantastic books it's been since then. In the meantime, I'm going to push a button.
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
Yeah, we'll see about that. What's out, sir?
Well, in our TV aisle, we've got Rise of the Clans, Season 1.
That's with the C, by the way. Rake, Season 5. It's about firefighters in California.
We've also got Archer, Season 9.
Must be anime based on title alone, Dances with the Dragons, the complete series.
Oh, that must be what the Avatar 2 will be based. Castle Town Dandelion, the complete series.
In a re-release section, Hellboy, the animated double feature. Both of those were so good and would have been fantastic films.
Yeah, no kidding. Movies, we've got Terraformers. I don't know. Is that actually put out by Troma?
I hope so. The Man with the Magic Box, which is that movie that Randall rented one time.
We've also got Terror 5.
The first
so
four
who knows if
amazing.
You need the first four.
Oh,
yeah.
They were just great. The Isle, or the Islay, if you prefer.
Unless there's a Fisher after that. The Mule, which that actually looked interesting.
Or the Mule, if you prefer. Bumblebee is, you know, redoing the Transformers franchise right, I hear.
No, I believe that's Bumblebee. We've also got Vice, or Vice.
Bumblebee, that's that Michael Bublé, you know, dedication ceremony.
They just do Blind Melon songs in the style of Michael Bublé.
But we're getting the film that's set decades after ending World War II. This gentleman assassinated Adolf Hitler in an undercover operation. That's American hero Calvin Barr, unsung hero. He's called upon again by his government to hunt down the fabled Bigfoot, the carrier of the deadly plague that could destroy humanity. Get
I
this.
I want to watch the crap out of this movie.
Sam Elliott, Aidan Turner, and Ron Livingston star in
Wait. Ladies and gentlemen, prepare for this title.
The Man Who Killed Hitler, and then the Bigfoot.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world from a geeky point of view. You folks remember the film from like a decade ago, District 9, the odd sort of alien sci-fi film that showed us malnourished extraterrestrials living in government camps and was an obvious parallel to issues that some humans have on this planet? I like the movie a lot. And now, thanks to Trisha Entertainment and the Weta Workshop, you can now return to the world of the film through a board game.
Good, because Chappie was not a spiritual successor to that movie.
Johnny Five is a bad day. No. One thing about the film I'll never forget is how much the prawns loved cat food. They were borderline addicts for Fancy Feast, which I thought was unusual, but an interesting aspect to include in the film. And also boosted the career of one Mr. Charlton Copley. What?
Yay.
So the board game, District 9, the board game, 2-4 players competitive based on the classic sci-fi film. Return to District 9 and relive the film's final 3 days through a whole new perspective. Lead your faction through the alien slum and search for tech that'll give you the edge. Salvage the most tech, take control of the district, and claim your victory. Glad they finally made this into a reality. The Flinchers has been getting tired of my pouring motor oil all over Candyland that we play incessantly because I have a four-year-old.
Fortnite delivered one of its usual weekly updates last week, and let's just say it hasn't been well received. The most controversial portion of the update is not its new poison trap or buffing the infantry rival, but instead a massive change that alters the core of regular game modes. What? Previously, Epic was doing an experiment that used competitive settings in the regular standard mode, which included things like health and materials on eliminations, but the update said that the experiment was over. The only reason given was that it encouraged too aggressive of play, and they wanted alternate play styles to remain viable.
Too aggressive in a battle royale. This is the guy that wanted to introduce the hug it out mode, right?
No. It's supposed to come after the floor is lava LTM that's going on right now. No, it really is. There is currently the floor is lava, and lava slowly rises on the map, and you have to try to get the high ground while not getting shot. It's fantastic. The changes reverted are 50 health or shield on elimination, 50-50-50 materials dropped on elimination, a 500 cap on all materials on each individual material, and harvest rate increased by 40%.
So the new players get bopped faster, and it takes longer to get more materials to maybe protect yourself. That sounds like it makes it a lot harder.
Yes, it does. And now everyone from a chunk of casual players to most of Fortnite's top pros are calling for the system to be unreverted, especially ahead of the big money Fortnite World Cup. Nick Merckx, who is a record holder in Fortnite and successful pro competitor, said it like this. Players are forced to choose between absurdly long queue times in Arena, which has these rules in place, or to play regular games, which have now taken all the reward on kill stuff out, meaning that everyone would be playing a drastically different game than what will take place during the World Cup. Now, that pertains to their implementation of Arena mode, which is those features and also serves as a ranked mode.
And seems to be that you have to wait in queue about as long as players who have been desiring that mode.
Now, some say pros and creators are being too whiny about this change. However, Dr. Lupo gave this analogy. When we had cheese pizza, we loved it. When we were able to feast on Supreme Pizza for 2 months, then they took it away and told us that we liked cheese pizza before, so we should just deal with it. We did like the cheese pizza, but that was before we knew any other kind of pizza existed.
Or, you know, going high speed then to back to dial up.
Exactly. So the big thing is that a lot of areas are covering this. Forbes is where we got this article from. And if Forbes is talking about it and all of the streamers are picking other games to play, this is something that could really impact Epic. Now, of course, a lot of the creators and pros, they're not taking it lying down because creators such as Ninja, Courage, Tim the Tatman, Dr. Lupo, and more, they stopped playing Fortnite the day that it came out after they tried to play it and started streaming games of online Uno instead, which if you get the chance, you should go listen. They put actual money on it and it was just as funny as it sounds, but it's all less funny for Epic, which is supposed to be getting players, specifically its pros, hyped up for the World Cup, but none of them like these changes. And attempting to practice for the World Cup in any meaningful capacity is almost impossible. Now, Epic is usually really good about reacting to feedback quickly. So in theory, they could unrevert these changes and go back to the aggressive style in short order if they wanted. Keep in mind, people were playing that aggressively anyway. And yet, there's probably a reason that they made this decision in the first place, such as the proposed release of respawn vans in the near future. But it looks like with this change, Epic's biggest upcoming lawsuit will be coming from Bethesda for stealing their game-killing gimmick.
Captain Marvel, we've been raving about it, you know it. Let's talk about the love of the Stan Lee cameo in this particular film. That's even more crazy than the ones you have like in Guardians of the Galaxy where they said, hey, he's the same guy from every movie. Or the beautiful moment in Teen Titans Go to the Movies where he's like, oh, this isn't a DC movie and has to leave. Then, of course, they were talking about the scene where Brie Larson's Carol Danvers is on a train and she sees Stan Lee reading the script for Kevin Smith's Mallrats, a reference to the fact that Stan Lee made a cameo in that movie in the real 1995 that we all live in currently. And of course, Kevin Smith saw that and just got all teary-eyed. I'm a blubbering mess. After a lifetime spent referencing the movies just referenced me. Did I survive the snap? It's a fair question we all want to know. Smith later shared another Instagram photo that reveals he's playing Captain Marvel back with a mini cameo in Jay and Silent Bob's reboot movie with Jason Lee, and apparently as is Mallrats character Brody, picking up a Captain Marvel comic and making the same sort of distractingly reverent face that Brie Larson gave to Stan Lee in her movie. It's cameo upon cameo and reference on reference, which is basically the ultimate Kevin Smith thing. We at GRD are, of course, hoping that Brody also has a huge rant about Groots and escalators, or at least Ivana comes back to tell his fortune.
Please.
Tyler R. Barris has been sentenced to 20 years in prison for a string of phony emergency calls, one of which was made over a Call of Duty deal and led to the police killing of an innocent Kansas man. A U.S. district judge sentenced Barris on Friday. In November, Barris pleaded guilty to 51 federal charges associated with the malicious phony calls made with the intention of drawing enforcement to the victims. Of course, it's a form of harassment known as swatting. Targets of swatting are often gamers or public figures who have stirred the interest of online trolls. In December of 2017, an Ohio gamer allegedly made a $1.50 bet with Barris.
Mortimer!
Through Call of Duty, asking Barris to call authorities and report a fake hostage situation at the address of a different gamer. But the Wichita, Kansas address that Barris used was old and no longer belonged to the intended victim. At the time, it belonged to Andrew Finch, a 28-year-old father of two who had no association with either party. Police arrived and killed Finch when they mistook him for reaching for the weapon reported in the fake call. The man who allegedly made the bet, Casey Viner, and the intended victim who reportedly had trash-talked and egged on Viner, Shane Gaskell, were both charged with co-conspiring and being giant dickwads. Both pleaded not guilty to charges, but Viner told the court he plans to change the plea, according to the AP. In April 2018, while Barris was being held for the charges, he reportedly accessed the internet and posted a tweet threatening to SWAT again. How am I on the internet if I'm in jail? Oh, because I'm an e-god, that's how. And about 20 minutes later, he tweeted, "All right, now who is talking stuff? Your butt is about to get swatted."
That sounds like a completely reformed man to me.
According to Kansas City Star, during a comment to the court on Friday, Barris asked Finch's family for forgiveness and took full responsibility in what had happened to him. Finch's family also filed a lawsuit against the city of Wichita and the police officers who shot and killed Finch. The officer wasn't charged. Kids, why you gotta escalate things? Sending the cops? Jesus, the worst we did was send pizzas to somebody's house. But at least a piping hot 20-slice pie of justice has been delivered to Barris. Gamers, players, pranksters, humans, let's be better than this.
And one time, when we called the pizza delivery guy to his jackass's house, it's back when Domino's, it took 40 minutes to get there, so it was free. We showed him. In needed, much needed happier news, here's a story near and dear to many of our hearts. Despite its flaws, some say, a near non-cohesive story, pay attention, Meatloaf's 5 minutes of screen time in the second reel, the drag's just a little too much. The 1975 Rocky Horror Picture Show was one of the very first depictions of subversive sexuality in music form. It's also one of the first true cult films, and fans continue to attend midnight screenings around the world, making it the longest theatrical run of any movie ever. Thank you, Charming Underclothes, for carrying that torch. But did you know that a Rocky Horror Castle, technically known as Oakley Court, is currently a luxury hotel with 9 bedrooms in the very structure where the Time Warp first leapt onto the screen. Located in Bray, England, just a hop, skip, and a jump from London's Heathrow Airport, this old English manor was used as home of Dr. Frank Infurter, also known as the Frankenstein Place. You'll no doubt recognize the entryway of Oakley Court, where newly engaged couple Brad and Janet...
Were you waiting for somebody to say asshole?
In my head, I said it. I was like, oh my God, that's the first time I've said that name and not heard someone say asshole. It took me by surprise. It really did. Stood dripping wet before they were welcomed inside for the craziest night of their lives. It was also the famous staircase in the room where the dinner scene was filmed. Sunday, August 25th of this very year, fans of the cult film will gather at the Rocky Horror Castle to celebrate filming the Time Warp Picnic. For £260, you can secure overnight accommodation at Oakley Court, a full English breakfast, which is worth it alone, an afternoon buffet on the lawns, and a late-night screening of the film. The hotel boasts 118 bedrooms, so fans of the movie who book a stay at the Rocky Horror Castle will want to make sure they book one of the 9 mansion suites, as these are the only hotel rooms part of the manor's original structure. In addition to the Rocky Horror Picture Show, Oakley Court's been in a bunch of things because Hammer needed a place to film films. The Curse of Frankenstein from 57, Theater of Blood from 73, The Brides of Dracula from 1960. If you find yourself in London and your car breaks down, you could stay for the night.
Night.
Or maybe... a bite?
Bite.
Maybe go to the lab and see what's on the slab. I see you shiver with Antissa. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and Twitter and visit youtube.com/geekradiodaily. There's all kinds of nonsensical things there. We've been pulling in public domain things and just showing random stuff as we walk through occasionally in our robes eating popcorn.
We're scamps.
How do you know we're not? Are you watching? Check and see. Let us know which part you like the best, especially when the male nipple pops out. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, you can send a voicemail message to
510-GRD-CREW.
Let us know how much you love.
That's fantastic.
Piss off.
Peace out, player.
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Well, I thought every part of it was good, but overall I hated it.
I feel exactly the opposite. What to say?
You fought in the Clone Wars?
Yes. I was once a Jedi Knight, the same as your father.
I wish I'd known him.
He was the best star pilot in the galaxy, and a cunning warrior. I understand you've become quite a good pilot yourself, and he was a good friend. Which reminds me, I have something here for you. Your father wanted you to have this when you were old enough, but your uncle wouldn't allow it. He feared you might follow old Obi-Wan on some damn fool idealistic crusade like your father did.
What is it?
Your father's lightsaber. This is the weapon of a Jedi Knight. Not as clumsy or random as a blaster. An elegant weapon for a more civilized age. For over 1,000 generations, the Jedi Knights were the guardians of peace and justice in the Old Republic. Before the Dark Times. Before the Empire.